With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. Zach Gilp Show, CBS Sports Radio. The big news of the day, James Harden traded in a massive blockbuster deal involving a bunch of teams to the Brooklyn Nets. We'll continue to react on that coming up later on in the show. And 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, will be joined by a former Net in Kerry Kittles. But yes, even with all the NBA news, we still have divisional round football to talk about. And we got four big games this weekend, as you have the Rams and the Packers, the Bills and the Ravens. You got the Browns going up against the Kansas City Chiefs and also the Brady Breeze matchup in New Orleans. Let's head out to the hotline right now. Welcome in one of my favorite analysts. Does a tremendous job for us here at CBS. Was on the call along with the Bird, Ian Eagle, this past weekend as the Bills did get their first playoff victory since 1995 as they did take down the Indianapolis Colts in a thriller. And that's our main man, Charles Davis. Charles, how you been, my friend?
Zach, it's great to hear your voice. Glad you are well. I trust the same for your family, and I trust for everyone who can hear our voices. If you've gone through it, if you're going through it, sending you our best, and hope we can all start to make that turn in 2021.
From your lips to God's ears, I was talking yesterday to Deion Dawkins, and he said even though it was only 6,700 fans or whatever the numbers were in Buffalo, that the atmosphere was so raucous, and it seemed like it was more than that. Take me through that atmosphere being in Buffalo for a playoff game.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And look, Buffalo has a well-deserved reputation about support. The Bills Mafia is real, and it's one of those that you're not worried about if you're late with your payments, that you might get your thumbs broken, et cetera, right? It's a great group of people. This fan base has been waiting a long time. A young man who walked me to and from the booth said to me, I wasn't around for the other ones. Okay? I've heard about them. I heard about the Super Bowl run. My lifetime, we weren't there. This is amazing. I mean, and that was before we ever kicked the thing off. I remember the Bills running out. You know how the different units run out at different times for pregame work, Zach?
Yeah.
You know, the backs and receivers, quarterback, and the big guys come out last. Every one of them, raucous ovation. Stephon Diggs playing catch with fans in the stands during his pregame routine where he would throw a ball up in stands to different fans and they'd throw it back to him. And then when he turned to leave, he got a standing ovation from that section. The atmosphere was amazing, and I'll finish with this. We've all had to do the same things. No one's complaining because the idea that we played ball this year was more than enough, but we've all done games in empty stadiums, small crowds, up to this many. Ian Eagle looked at me before we kicked off, and he said, it absolutely makes a difference, doesn't it? And I said, absolutely, it does. And we were fortunate enough that it happened. Governor Cuomo and everyone else in the state of New York to help make that happen, the testing of the fans' willingness to be there, you name it. But that Bills Mafia is real. And I applaud the heck out of them. I really do, because they are just a phenomenal fan base.
When we get to the matchup this weekend on Saturday night, let's stay with the Bills. It's going to be marketed as Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, clearly with the two quarterbacks, Bills and Ravens. What decides this game, though, when you put your analysis hat on?
I think what decides it is, can that Bills defense handle the run game as it continues to come at them? This is not a run game where, you know, you try it and you see. This is a run game that if they're gonna have any success, they're just gonna keep banging away at this thing, right? I mean, it's just gonna be run, run, run. Variety of runs, a heavy dose of runs, not just all looking the same, but someone's gonna be carrying the ball and big people are gonna be out in front trying to block for them. Right? Is it J.K. Dobbins? Is it Gus Edwards? Mark Ingram was a healthy scratch last week. Think about that, Zach. Okay? Healthy scratch. He didn't play. Does he get an opportunity this week with fresh legs? We'll see. Of course, Lamar carrying the ball. And then you always have do you throw the jet sweeps in there? How do you get the ball to Devin Duvernay? Obviously, Hollywood Brown in the passing game. And the second part of that is Buffalo struggled with the tight end position with Indianapolis this week. Jack Doyle's been to two Pro Bowls, but it's been a while. Here comes Mark Andrews. You know? What's going to happen there? How do you cover? How do you do those sorts of things? To me, that's where it's going to happen because everything else, we kind of know what's going to go down. You know, everyone wonders about Buffalo's run game, Zach. They don't wonder about it. They are a passing team that mixes in the run. Now, if you let them run it, they will. Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, will continue to press it. But they want to throw the ball to the perimeter and let those guys do their work. I just saw from what I saw on Saturday, those are the places that I think that Buffalo is going to be challenged. And earlier this year, they struggled with backfield motion and action, crossers, you know, jet sweep action, things of that nature. And they struggled with runs that got to the perimeter. I think Baltimore will test them both ways on Saturday or Sunday or whatever day they're playing.
Charles Davis here with us. It's the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Browns going up against the Chiefs. Most people are expecting the Chiefs to win this game. If you had to make an argument for the Browns to do so, how do they pull off the upset and get two wins in the postseason?
Well, they're supposed to get Denzel Ward and Kevin Johnson back so their secondary gets shored up. That's big, okay? They do have the people up front that can potentially put pressure on Patrick Mahomes where you just rush four and you're not blitzing. That means Myles Garrett, Olivier Vernon. And don't underestimate the inside pressure coming from Larry Ogunjobi and Sheldon Richardson. They may not get a lot of sacks, but they can create pressure inside, which makes it tough for the quarterback to step up and climb the pocket and find target. So if they can do that with that four, because, Zach, you know as well as anyone, where does Patrick Mahomes really thrive if you blitz him? He carves you up. And they create big plays downfield, and then they're dancing in the end zone, and the fans are going crazy and the whole deal. You have to drop people in the coverage and hope you can make him hold the ball a count or two, right? Hope you can fool him occasionally with some coverages. Hope that, you know, when they do catch the ball downfield, you tackle them on the spot. Someone was asking me, like, what's the advantage, you know, against Kansas City or you know, something like that? And I was like, look, Kansas City on offense has the advantage against anyone. I don't care who you are, all right? Can you change the dynamics? Can you change the timing of the receivers with maybe some rerouting and some bumps occasionally or just fool them with coverage? That's what it's going to be. And the other part is I think that Cleveland has to have approaching 35 runs in this game, and it doesn't mean it has to be for 5 yards to carry, Zach. It just has to be a decent amount of yards, 3.5, I think would be enough. Control clock, keep the ball away from Mahomes, run the football, which is the strength of their team, and just control it that way. Limit the number of possibilities that Mahomes has the football for them to throw it downfield and make big plays. That's the way I think Cleveland gets it done. If they do, I'm with you. Kansas City's the favorite, and they should be. But, you know, a hot team, a confident team, a team that's been in playoff mode even in the regular season because they had to win down the stretch to get in, those are dangerous teams to deal with.
I know you mentioned running the football, and I agree with you. They got to go on some long drives, and they got to walk away with 7 and not 3. But even right. Saw last week, and I know the game was different. They got out to that crazy 28-0 start. But they used those backs a lot in the short passing game as an extension mm-hmm. of the run game. And you probably expect that a ton this week, those little dump-offs to Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, you do, because it's not just the dump-offs too, Zach, because Hunt is terrific. He's really, you know, they have defined roles. Chubb's really your first and second down. Hunt your third down back. And believe it or not, Hunt is your short yardage, you know, goal line runner. He's your more, you know, he's your physical guy, even though I think Chubb can handle that quite well too. But it's not just the dump-offs, it's the screen game. And Kevin Stefanski is tremendous in the screen game. What does Steve Spagnuolo, the defense coordinator of the Chiefs, like to do? Loves to blitz. Loves to bring pressure. He is one of those guys that wants to force the issue. Well, if that screen game is evident and that pressure is coming, expect to see a few of those. And what was it that broke open the game against Pittsburgh? Because remember, it was 28-0, as you pointed out. Now we got to what? Was it 35-23? And Pittsburgh makes a decision on 4th-and-1 to punt?
Yeah.
Which I think they'll rue the entire offseason, which I think we thought it then. This isn't. Hindsight is 20/20.
Tomlin and Vrabel. Don't forget about Vrabel in the other game.
Right. But you're just saying, I don't know that you can get the ball up here without trying, right? But they did, and Cleveland got the drive going. But what was the play that broke it open? It was a screen to Chubb. Big block by Treader.
For 40 yards, yeah.
Another block by Conklin. Block by Wyatt Teller. But the big one was by Treader occupying Vince Williams enough. Chubb ran through the attempted tackle, kept going. And that essentially was your ball game.
Charles Davis here with us. Individual matchup this weekend that I'm most excited for. It's got to be Jalen Ramsey against Davante Adams, Rams and Packers. Who do you give the edge to there?
It should be a push, but I think where the challenge really kicks in is when Davante Adams goes into the slot. Because if Jalen Ramsey is going to travel and stay with him, that's the place you want to challenge him the most. But I don't say that like, oh, well, that's a clear advantage because you can get him in the slot and he's not the same. Some guys don't play well in the slot. We know that. I mean, Zach, you and I are old enough to remember. Remember the dream team with the Eagles?
Yeah, of course.
All those cornerbacks.
Nnamdi Asamoah and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie.
Right? But none of them played in the slot, did they? All of them were outside corners. And oh, they're all like, I'm not going to the slot. You go into the slot. I'm not going to the slot. You go in the slot. And it just didn't work out. In this case, Jalen Ramsey, I think, is good enough to do anything. He's a long corner who has smaller body skills, footwork, ability to drop his hips, change of direction. He has all of it. But Green Bay's ability to run the football is going to be the one that's going to be a thing that opens things up for Aaron and everyone else. Their ability to use Aaron Jones. You know, the rookie out of BC, all those things, that's where it comes into play. Because I took a look at the list of the top rushing teams this year, and I think Green Bay's in the top five. You know, and I'm not sure people think about that with Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams and throwing it around the way that they do. They run it more than what people think, and I think that'll be interesting to watch. And, of course, to see how Aaron Donald's ribs hold up, because I hope he's 100%. Because I don't care. I don't have a dog in this fight. I just love watching him play.
No doubt about that. Charles Davis here with us. Since we're talking about the Packers and the Rams, and I think the Packers will win this week, and I just have so much trust in the way that Rodgers is playing right now, and the Rams QB situation is uncertain. But, hey, the Rams are here. We know they have a very good defense. The thing I'm still alarmed by, and I look at the second half of the season, it was different than the first half. It was the Seahawks and their offense, just how totally different it was with the Seahawks playing the Rams last week. What did you notice from Seattle in the second half of the season where they went from a juggernaut to a team where their offense became a concern?
I thought they were a little unsettled on the offensive line. They had some injuries and didn't get the same play they got early. I think teams adjusted to what they were doing in the passing game to where you saw a lot more of the twin safeties back deep, which a lot of people would associate with cover two, right? Two safeties deep, two corners rolled up, linebackers working underneath. You know, that's a simplistic way of saying it because they play it all different ways. They would play it with quarters where the four defensive backs each take a quarter of the field and kind of play levels that way. But they had people back to cover the pass because Russ was cooking, right? You want to throw it to DK Metcalf, you want to throw it to Lockett. You want to find some tight ends might find their way open, get space. That's what they were looking for. I don't know that they adjusted as well as you would have thought. And even if they wanted to run the football, they didn't have the same consistency, as I said, up front with the guys blocking, and two in the backfield. Chris Carson went through some dings. Rashad Penny was trying to work his way back. Carlos Hyde was being introduced into the offense. They have a lot of people, DJ Daniels, but did they have consistency? And we saw yesterday where Pete Carroll let Brian Schottenheimer go. And I don't know that this was just simply, you know, everything, I'm blaming Brian for everything. I think Pete's blaming himself as well, that his philosophy of how the game is played, he didn't transmit it clearly enough or make it evident enough about what he wanted. Because you and I both know, Zach, in his time frame in Seattle, they are going to be, what, number one or number two in the league in rushing attempts, right? They're going to run the ball upwards of 55% of their plays that they run. They were nowhere near that this year. The last time they were like this, and I don't know that's a pure number, but the last time in my mind they were like this, that was when Russell Wilson led them in rushing, had the only rushing touchdowns on the year. They went 9-7, but they missed the playoffs. He wants to get that balance back to where they get to be that physical Seattle team that we've seen before. So they'll have to do some retooling in the offseason, but I don't expect to see the ball in the air nearly as much as it was this year.
Charles Davis, is the third time a charm for the Bucs going up against the Saints?
It very well could be, but here's how it has to be a charm, Zach. Donovan Smith at left tackle, Tristan Wirfs at right tackle. They've got to block Cameron Jordan. They've got to block Trey Hendrickson if Hendrickson is playing this week. And they've got to keep that pressure tamped down so Tom Brady can do his work. Because if he can do his work, he's got plenty of guys to throw it to. And if he has time, I don't care who's covering, who's going to cover Evans, Godwin, Brown, Gronkowski, Brait, and then guys who swing out of the backfield. That's why it could be the third time. Because I trust Tampa's defense enough with the pressure and the speed, even though Drew Brees deals with that. But here's the thing to keep an eye on in this game, Zach. Will Tampa fully commit to sitting on the short and intermediate routes and begging Drew Brees to try and throw it over their heads? I think people talk it. I don't know that people live it. Does that make sense? They talk about, I'm going to sit on the short route, I'm going to sit on the intermediate, but they're still wary. I would make Drew Brees prove that he consistently can throw the ball over my head before I get out of that high pressure and sitting on those receivers on the shorter routes. And every time they catch the ball, there's someone to make a play and have an impact on them.
Charles,
because that's where the game, I think, is going to be for Tampa Bay. I'm going to make Drew Brees throw it over my head. Otherwise, I should be there to make a play on their receivers.
Let me get your thoughts on the Texan situation, Charles Davis. If you could speak to Cal McNair, what would your message be when Deshaun Watson is clearly not happy right now?
My message, you know, not that I have a great one, is I think that he's on the right track. And what I mean by that is, did I not read that Cal McNair said he's reached out to Deshaun Watson?
Yeah.
That's what you have to do.
Hasn't got an answer yet, but he reached out.
No, may not have gotten an answer, but he did reach out. I would have Nick Caserio, my new GM, reaching out. And I hope that Deshaun Watson meets them halfway. Because remember, Nick Caserio's new. All right? He wasn't there before. Okay? And everyone who may be upset that he got the job, how he got the job, remember this. He's one of the hottest GM prospects in the league. The credentials are without question. Him getting the job is legit. This isn't, you know, even though it seems like it was weird because it looked like a search firm wanted to hire someone else, blah, blah, blah. A lot of teams wanted to hire Nick Caserio. He's a legit item. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I'd like to hear what he has to say about where the team is going, and I hope that he will pick up the phone and respond in kind. But Cal McNair and the Texans, there are a lot of other questions that are legitimately to be asked about what's going on there. Deshaun should have this opportunity to ask those questions and go from there. But if I'm the Texan, I'm doing everything possible not to placate him. Because remember, placating is different, right? But to satisfy where this is our vision, this is where we're headed, we want you leading it for us, we need you to be our quarterback, and then go from there.
When I look at the Eagles situation, Charles Davis, getting rid of Doug Peterson, I did not love it. And I also did not like that if you got rid of Doug, you keep Howie Roseman. What's going on in Philadelphia?
Your guess is as good as mine. I thought that when Doug Peterson had the press conference after the Washington game?
Yeah.
I thought this seems like a disaster because Doug seemed genuinely stunned that our group, our media people are asking him about, what'd you do with Sud? Why did Sudfeld play? It's almost like he thought, well, in my mind, I was going to play him. Isn't that good enough? And it just didn't seem like it with all the situations going on, right? So you go from there, and I said, well, he didn't get whacked for that, so maybe he had approval from on high. And now Mr. Lurie's saying that wasn't the case. Our visions are different. Off we go. I get it. I think that they just philosophically fell apart for whatever reason. Now they've got to find someone. Because the way he said it, Jeffrey Lurie said about Carson Wentz, lets me know they really want Carson Wentz to be rehabilitated and they want him to be their quarterback. So I fully expect the next hire to be a quarterback whisperer, guru, offensive guy. You know, they'll interview defensive guys, but I'll be stunned unless that defensive guy is bringing a super offensive guy as an attachment with him. Because they want every opportunity for Wentz to be their quarterback. Because you've seen the contract, Zach.
A lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And how do you get rid of that? And what about a cap hit you take if you want to let him go? And is Jalen Hurts really your answer? To me, he should have played out that last game because I want to find out about a quarterback who's not having everything go his way and see what he does down the stretch. The idea that you need to look at Nate Sudfeld never made any sense to me.
Yeah, it was comical. There's something more there. There's no doubt about it. All right, final one for you, Charles Davis. I always respect your football knowledge. You're also excellent when we get set for the draft. I know we're some time away, but let's just say if the draft was tomorrow, I think the biggest question, you know, knowing Lawrence going off the board to the Jaguars, one, what are the Jets doing at two?
I think the Jets are open for business. I think Joe Douglas's phone, I think he'll give out about 15 different numbers and have everyone man the phones and say, call me. Okay, who's interested? Because at two, they're going to do their homework. And is it Justin Fields? Is it Zach Wilson? Is it this guy? Is it that guy? You've got to do that homework on it. But is Sam Darnold a better option for where you are now based on who you bring in as your new coach and how you're going to build this team? And by the way, think about what you can get for that number two pick right now. That could go a long way with players making you better, et cetera, et cetera. So I think he's going to do that. Remember John Robinson said that a long time ago with the Titans. King's ransom, that's what I'm looking for. And that turned out to be Jared Goff with the Rams. And then the Eagles had to make a second move to get up there to get Carson Wentz at two. Who did Titans take with that first pick? Jack Conklin, who was an all-pro as a rookie. All-pro now this year with Cleveland. So other players can fill in and do that. But I think he's going to listen while he and his staff do heavy work on the quarterback position. Now, if they believe that Justin Fields is the guy, then they'll probably stand pat and take him. But right now, I'd have my phone wide open.
Charles Davis, you and the family be well. Great stuff as always. Thanks so much.
You take care, Zach. Be good.
Thanks so much. It's Charles Davis. We're overdue for a break. We'll take one right now. When we come on back, guess what we're talking? James Harden.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know, I want to rewind a little bit. Let me just take you back to 2016. If I told you in that offseason, so before Kevin Durant joins the Golden State Warriors, before Kyrie Irving eventually started to develop those thoughts that he wanted to move on from the Cleveland Cavaliers. And at that time, James Harden was still in Houston. But if I just told you in that offseason of 2016 that if I was to put you in the year of 2021 in the month of January, that eventually a trio would be formed of Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden, what would your response be? Your response would be over-the-top exuberance, over-the-top excitement, oh my goodness gracious, that team's going to be so exciting. That team's going to be so fun. And that team's going to be dominant. Now look at how we view that team. There's not concerns really about Kevin Durant. I know he's coming off injury. Yeah, you expect that James Harden isn't going to be camping out at Junior's Cheesecakes too much in New York. And he'll drop the 10, 15 pounds that he needs to. A big reason why I think so many people are ready to just crucify and criticize the Nets today is because of Kyrie Irving. Because Kyrie is such an unknown. We don't know where Kyrie Irving is right now. We don't know when Kyrie Irving is going to return. And we don't know how Kyrie Irving is going to mesh and gel, both on the court and his personality, with Kevin Durant and James Harden. Kyrie Irving's stock is at such a low point. Here would be my one thing of optimism. Maybe he doesn't care. And maybe at this point it's wishful thinking. But people are now telling Kyrie Irving you can't do something. And right now he's not showing up. Right now he's not playing for whatever the reasons are. Does maybe all this criticism, and I get why there's criticism because where the Nets did come from, giving up all those picks in the Garnett and Pierce trade, and then once again giving up all these picks to acquire James Harden. Does maybe everyone kind of, with the feel of them rooting against the Nets and already saying that this deal's not going to work, can that bring these guys together and motivate? I don't think that's a deciding factor. But I know this. James Harden, he maybe doesn't know how to win a championship. He does want to win a championship, though. Kevin Durant left Golden State, which was a nice, cushy situation for him because he wants to win the championship where he formed the team. He's the lead guy forming the team. And for Kyrie Irving, that's the wild card. I don't know what Kyrie Irving wants. And quite frankly, I don't know if we'll ever find out what Kyrie Irving wants. So this is a situation that it's been perceived today. And I think you agree with this, right, Trace? The overwhelming critique and the overwhelming view of this trade has been more negativity than positivity. How could the Nets do this? This is not going to work, correct?
Correct, yes. Yeah, that's, like I said, it's title or bust, but there's a lot of factors, I think, angling against that. So that's why there's a lot of negativity so far.
And you would agree with the assessment. I don't think a lot of people are down on Kevin Durant. I don't think a lot of people, yes, the press conference last night was horrible for James Harden. Yes, James Harden is out of shape right now, and he just seems like he does not care. Harden got out, though, of Houston. He wanted out of Houston. He was doing all these things because he didn't care for the organization anymore. Now he got his way. Just because you got your way doesn't mean you're going to produce and doesn't mean that you're going to end up holding up your end of the bargain. But I really don't think Harden and Durant are going to be the problem. If this thing crashes, if this thing burns, it's going to be because of Kyrie. It's either because Kyrie doesn't come back and then they're going to have to win with just Harden and Durant, which you could win. Or if Kyrie is there, how long is he going to be willing to play the good guy? I'm all good with what's going on here. And when will he blow up? That's the multi-million dollar question that I don't have the answer for. Ryan Trace Hickey doesn't have the answer for. Rich Ackerman, who does our updates, doesn't have the answer for. No one has the answer on that other than who? Kyrie Irving. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Bryce in California next up on CBS Sports Radio. Bryce, what's happening? Bryce, go ahead.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep, I got you, Bryce. Go, come on, let's go.
Awesome. So, hey, Billy King made this trade back in 2013.
I actually talked to Billy King today, actually. I tried to get Billy King on the show, and he does a morning show in Philadelphia, so he said he has to do that appearance first.
Sean Marks is going to run into the same scenario. He gave away too much for James Harden. He gave away four swaps and three first rounds. Billy King gave up three first rounds, and those three first rounds turned into James Young, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and these one to acquire Kyrie in the trade. And so the Nets did not make out in this. And Raphael Stone is going to look like Danny Ainge in 5 years with what he did.
Well, if he continues to draft well and if he is able to capitalize on these picks, I will say Raphael Stone did not have a lot of leverage. He had a disgruntled player and he did a heck of a job getting all these picks back. Here's what it comes down to. For Sean Marks, Kevin Durant wanted James Harden. When you brought in Kevin Durant, which it's worth doing, you basically give all power over to Kevin Durant, and Sean Marks just had to get the deal done. Philadelphia was floating around. Philadelphia was making some noise. If they wanted to give up Ben Simmons, the Nets weren't going to be able to match unless if they gave up picks. Yes, right now you think the Rockets have won the trade. Right now I would say the Rockets have won that trade. But you know what makes it worth it for the Nets? Even if in 2026 and 2027 they aren't a good team, if you win a championship this year and next year. You have to win a championship when you give up this much. Let me go to Elvis in Alabama next up on CBS Sports Radio. Elvis, what's happening?
Hey, man. I got to apologize to you. I was unaware when I made the call that there had been a trade, but I got to pivot because you said something in the meantime makes no sense at all.
What is that?
You said that James Harden might not know how to win a title, but he wants to. Yeah, he wants to win a title like people want to get rich by hitting the lottery, but they don't want to do the work that it takes to get rich. The dude is a bum. He will never win a title. Write it down. I'm out.
Elvis, wait, hold on. You're just going to hang up? That's it? Figures. Great take by Elvis. He's a bum! Hang up the phone. Can I, since we just like to throw out names here, can I call him a coward, Elvis, for hanging up the phone? You just call James Harden a bum? I'm not even a big James Harden fan. I've been very critical of James Harden. I would like to be a bum, though, and just turn down $105 million over 2 years, which is what James Harden did. James Harden's in a pretty good spot. So James Harden, you may question his playoff ability. I don't think anyone has questioned his playoff ability more than me. He has not showed up in the big moments. He is still a top 10 player in the league. Isn't that amazing, Trace, our society? The dude's a bum. He plays a sport that most people can't play. And out of the elite players, not only in the USA, but in the world, he's a top 10 player in the world, but the dude's a bum because he can't win a championship. And then when you try to push back on that caller, Elvis, you go hang up the phone and go cry somewhere in Alabama. And you would think Elvis would probably be in a good mood. Alabama just won a championship. Maybe he's not an Alabama fan, though. James Harden a bum. There's one thing to be critical of James Harden. I am critical of James Harden. 5 points, fourth quarter, when KD got hurt in game 5. Missing 22 straight three-point shots in a playoff series up against the Warriors. Only hitting 2 3-point shots in a game 7. There's reasons to be critical. The dude is still a great basketball player. He's the antithesis of a bum. And usually when you call people a bum, you may have to look into the mirror. That's all I'll say on that. Don't want to be too harsh, though. It's 2021. I'm trying to be more positive in 2021.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
I didn't know if I could get up to that octave, quite frankly. I paused for a second, and then I tried it there. Ah! It's a lot easier when you were 10 or 11. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts. So, Trace, have you ever lost a piece of clothing and you basically flip your room, flip your house, flip your apartment upside down to find that piece of clothing?
Of course, socks, especially, you know, the other socks missing. Oh, the worst.
Socks? That you get all caught up in socks?
Well, it's just the hardest to find.
Okay, so earlier to start out this year, earlier in the month, I went to my parents' house to go pay them a visit. And when I went to my parents' house, I thought I had my gloves. Then when I came back to my apartment in New York City, I didn't know where my gloves were. So I've been wearing different gloves as of late, which I found a nicer pair of gloves and a warmer pair of gloves. But I was wondering where my gloves were. So the last week, week and a half, I can't find these stinking gloves. And I just thought to myself, maybe I left them at my folks' place and I'm actually going to see my folks again this weekend. So I asked my mom, can you look around the house for the gloves? But I said, like, don't lose your mind. They're probably somewhere in my apartment. And the last few days, I've really taken all the clothes off the shelves, looking behind the bed, looking underneath the couch, all over the apartment for the gloves. Can't find them. Yesterday, at night, I'm watching a video on social media from our friends down the hall at WFAM, where I will sometimes host occasionally as well. And I see off to the side in the video these two black gloves. And I go, you probably get it into your head a bit too much. They're probably the gloves of one of the people that are talking in the video. So today, during this past break, I go into that studio. No one's in that studio right now. And I go and I wanted to see if the gloves were there. What do you know? The two gloves are there. And I have, you could attest, large hands, correct, Amundo?
Big hands.
So I then had to see if the glove did fit. No, this is not an O.J. Simpson reference. I just was talking to Peter Hoffman, who produces, and I go, these look like my gloves. They even have a small little rip on the right hand, which I knew they did have. So I put on the gloves, and you tell me. These gloves definitely fit, correct?
Those gloves fit like a glove.
So these are my gloves. They got to be my gloves.
So you're still not 100% sure?
No, I'm certain, but I feel bad because that's not my studio. Going into that studio and taking gloves because, in essence, maybe some of the hosts just leave their gloves in there and someone else forgot their gloves as well. But what are the odds in a studio that I've hosted from within this month, and also the glove has a rip on the right hand, which I knew my glove did have a small rip on one of the layers of the glove, and they fit my large hands. These got to be my gloves.
So I was just going to ask, how did they get in there? Is this from the last time you hosted on the
last
fan?
Last time I hosted, I must have
worn
left the gloves there.
And left them there.
But that here's the sense. Thing. The last time I hosted on the fan, I went out for dinner that night outside. Now, I'm not going to eat dinner with the gloves on, but I must have been sitting outside, and it wasn't that cold. It was like 45 degrees, and I didn't realize I couldn't find my stinking gloves. And I left my gloves, because usually when I leave something somewhere, I know that I left it there if it's clothing. I never even thought until it just happened. I was watching one of the videos from WFAN last night, and I see these two big pair of black gloves. And I go, those got to be my gloves. And I went in
Perfect.
Today, and they're
there
the gloves. So I found my gloves.
Save yourself a lot of stress.
Well, no, I didn't. If I knew that they were in there from the start, I wouldn't have been flipping over my entire apartment to try to figure out where these gloves were.
But I'm saying, if you didn't watch the video, you never would have even thought the gloves were here.
I would have kept on looking.
So you're going to drive yourself crazy, probably
yeah.
flip your apartment over again, go to your parents' house, flip their house upside down.
Yell at them.
And then it's like,
right,
you stole my gloves. Yelling at your roommate. It could have got ugly.
Yeah, so I found the gloves. So I'm very happy that I found the gloves. Now, I just hope someone tomorrow doesn't say, hey, I had gloves in the studio last night. I left my gloves in the studio. Then we're going to have a little debate, and then we're going to have to figure out if, because, hey, other people here, I would imagine, because I am not normal. I am abnormal here. I am a large human being. Most of the people here, they don't have huge hands like myself. I would say that these gloves on a normal person would not be comfortable because they fit me to a T. Yeah, you look right now, these gloves look great, correct, Amunda?
Fits like a glove.
I kind of feel, you ever see Adam Schein, by the way? Adam Schein, when he's on CBS Sports Network and he has the hot takes with the mitten gloves.
He puts on the oven mitts.
Sorry, it's mitten gloves. Yeah, the oven mitts. That's what I feel like right now in front of a microphone with two pairs of with a pair of black gloves on right now. So
Zach's going to the oven. Here come the hot takes.
Yeah, right. So I found the gloves. Very much happy. And I'm sure the listening audience cared about that last 5 minutes of radio hearing about my gloves. By the way, did you see Vince Quinn? He used to host my shift, or not my shift. It's a shift I did host on. I don't want to sound too egotistical. But Vince Quinn, who hosts Weekend Overnights here on CBS Sports Radio, which is a great time slot, loyal audience. When I left the company before I came back, I'd have people call me at my old job saying how much they missed me on CBS Sports Radio. Really, really, really loyal audience. Did you see Vince? He gave out his mailbox address here at the station. He got an email today, and Vince is only here, what, once or twice a week, and it's on the weekends? He got an email today that he received so many packages that they wanted to make sure that they were able to get them to him, because I don't even think he has a mailbox here. Or if
wow.
he does, let's be real.
That is, it's not big.
It's not a big mailbox.
It's a cubby.
Yeah, it's, you could fit maybe a, like they reserved the big mailboxes for Tiki, for Boomer, but for everyone else, all of us regular folks, they give you a very small mailbox. Should we maybe do that? Should we see? Do you want listeners really sending you stuff? Like, what do you think Vince got?
So that's what I was going to add. I saw Vince putting it out on social media. Hey, guys, send me. You basically put it generic, too. Send me whatever you want, which is you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, you're opening up Pandora's box right there.
Yeah, I don't know what people would send. If I was like a listener and you're like, hey, guys, Zach Gelb mailbox, send me whatever. I don't really know what I would.
Because you're not going to send food. Because
no.
That's going to go bad.
Yeah.
And also, and just the age that we're in right now, I don't know what goes on in your home. I don't know maybe where your health is at. Do I want you sending something? And with COVID, you get all concerns and thoughts there. Just the wacky world and the way that we're wired now. Like, you think people are sending him books? I don't think people are sending him gift certificates. I actually, when I worked in Philadelphia, I had a listener send me $100. They gave me a $100 bill in the mail. I was an intern. I wasn't even working. I was in college. Think about that. $100 in college, that's like hitting the lottery. That's like hitting the jackpot. So, are you familiar with Wing Bowl? You know what Wing Bowl is?
No.
Wing Bowl was the greatest radio promotion of all time. They don't do it anymore. But pretty much, Angelo Cataldi, Sports Radio 94 WIP, they would have listeners qualify for a wing-eating contest, how many wings you could eat. And you'd have these big floats, and they'd have like wing girls and all that. So it was like a huge event. They would rent out the entire Wells Fargo Center. It was the Friday before the Super Bowl. So it was a hot ticket to get, and they would give away the tickets on the air. So I screened a phone call one day. It was my intern responsibilities. And this older gentleman, you could tell he was older, he was so elated. Like, Zach, I can't believe, because I tell them who I am when I screen the phone call. I can't believe I won the tickets, like going nuts. And I'm just taking down his information. All right, what's your address? We'll send them out to you, blah, blah, blah. Give me a contact number in case we have to call you. So I go into the internship maybe like a month later. And the guy that runs the internship goes, can you come into my office? And when that happens, I'm like, what did I do wrong? I was a pretty damn good intern. So I go into the internship office, and the guy goes, usually interns don't get mail. You got mail. And it was this big package. And I open it up, 10 plastic sunglasses. So I'm giving out the sunglasses to everyone on air, and I take a pair. And then I see there was a card. So I took the card, and I didn't open it up there. I go home. Guy writes me a note. Can't thank you enough for screening my phone call, making sure I get the tickets. Just wanted to brighten up your day. $100. Boom. Greatest internship ever. We talk Kerry Kittles. With Kerry Kittles next, we're talking James Harden. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.